It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Oh, fucking question the game. Do you believe in miracles?
Tuned into Game On with Josh Silverberg.
Game On!
Talking all things sports, it's...
Game On!
Yeah, Game On!
Game On! Right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Ah, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. This is Game On, joining you every single Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That would be 5 p.m. Central Time, right? I think 3 p.m. Speedy. 3 Pacific Time.
It would be 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Okay, and, if you want to go all the way to the Australia for the World Cup, it'd be 12 hours from now.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that time. But, you know, I mean, I guess that would be 6 a.m. So then,
yeah.
Well, I mean, but thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I know I've been away for the last couple of weeks, was on vacation, and then Speedy was on vacation.
Yep.
It's summertime, but summer is winding down. We're getting into fall soon. Football is starting up again. We have a great jam-packed show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you can check us out at worldwidesportsradio.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, Periscope. I think I got all of them at that point, pretty much.
Well, it's Twitter Live now, not Periscope. Periscope was our bread and butter.
No, it's called X, remember?
Oh, that's right.
It's called X.
My bad.
It's called X now. You got to remember that. And, of course, if you want to call in the show, the number is there for you to call in. And I actually want to get, before I bring in the person that I know every single person is very excited to have on the show tonight. Specifically Snug, per se, because Snug has been wanting this forever. This is Snug's dream, so and everything like that. So I want to be able to get the comment section going. Oh, my God. There he goes. He's going already. Snug is going already. All right, let's bring him in. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, he's coming on in now. Let me get him in there. There he is. My father himself, Nelson Silverberg, is here. He is on. He is live. What's going on, Dad?
Everything's going great. First of all, let me just thank all the viewers that have been writing in, that have been dying to get me on the show. Also, Josh, Speedy, and of course, Errol. I just want to say thank you for everybody to give me this opportunity.
Well, I know you. I was going to say, so Mom is the next one, right? Like, Mom's got to come out at some point, especially if the 49ers are deep in the playoffs. You know, I mean, but we're going to get into the 49ers because so far what I've been reading is Brock Purdy has not looked very pretty in practice the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, everything like that. But we will discuss all that. We're going to get into the baseball trade deadline conversation. What are our thoughts on the New York Mets, the New York Yankees? Where are these New York teams at? And basically why the baseball season is pretty much kaput at this point for both New York teams and why we should look forward to next year. And then I'm going to get to something that my dad and I were talking about the other day, actually, and that is the college football playoff. But, of course, we start with the leadoff spot of the show, Hard Knocks, and that is with the New York Jets and everything that's going on. And my dad's smirking because it's Aaron Rodgers, and he's a Packer fan. Really quickly giving a synopsis on this. It was very interesting, Speedy. I know you saw it, too, and everything of that nature. You know, it started the show with Robert Saleh having the group in the room, obviously, and talking about He didn't really have a dream about this, by the way. This actually is an existing theory. I understood what he was trying to get at. So, but it's an interesting theory. So it's about an eagle, right? An eagle is a predator of a bird. They attack everything. They go near the... There's one bird that does not fear an eagle, and that is a crow. And what do crows do? They constantly peck at the eagle, constantly. So the eagle, how do they get rid of the crow? They fly as high as they can in the air until the crows suffocate. They then fall to the ground, and they die. That is essentially what Robert Saleh is referring to the Jets. So everybody is going to be pecking at us, saying, we can't do this. This is not going to work. The media is going to, they're going to wait for this to explode. We're not going to work out. That's what the crows are. And you guys are the eagle, where you're going to soar as high as you can. And you're going to get all that off of you, and you're going to get away from all the haters. Because as Robert Saleh said it, if you're not being talked about, then obviously, you know, you're not going to have any haters. So when you have haters, clearly you're being discussed. So when I watched that about Saleh, obviously it's very different from Rex ran it in 2010. It's complete, like, Rex is a camera hog. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't see Joe Douglas. We saw Joe Douglas maybe for 5 seconds on the show. That was all we saw Joe Douglas for, which I know Joe Douglas is not a Hard Knocks person. He's very against it, everything of that nature. But, I mean, eventually he's going to have to speak, right? Because he made the trade for Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to have to give a synopsis of why we made this deal and why we think it's going to work out and the commitment and everything like that. But this episode was essentially about Aaron Rodgers. What is he going to bring to the Jets? What kind of culture is he bringing to the New York Jets? And why the New York Jets need a guy like this? And people were waiting for him to be like, waiting for him to be an ass and to say something stupid, and he keeps to himself, and he doesn't like this. And it was interesting, Al Woods, actually, a defensive tackle for the Jets, actually took the mic from Hard Knocks at one point and literally said in the mic, for all those that say Aaron Rodgers is not a good person or a good teammate, it's lies. He's been nothing but great. But he also, Robert Saleh said about him in this episode is he treats Aaron like a coach. Because actually, every time Zach Wilson was having a rep, Aaron Rodgers was right next to him with Nathaniel Hackett, was right next to him and coaching him and telling him, like, every time Zach did something wrong, Rodgers would say, no, your footwork wasn't there. No, you're throwing off this thing. You're throwing to that end when you had a receiver open on the right side. You're only looking at one receiver. You should be scheming the field when you have time to throw the football. So that's what Rodgers, he has really felt like a coach and everything of that nature. Then Jeff Ulbrich, who, you know how I feel about Jeff Ulbrich, speedy, as Errol does too. He thinks, me and I both think that Saleh should be calling the plays. But Robert Saleh, when he did a coaching conference a couple years ago, he said as a head coach, he oversees the team, he hires the coaches to do their job, not to overstep on their toes. I'm hiring them to do their job. My job is to not basically overtake their job. That's not what it is. I'm just to oversee everything. That's why he leaves Ulbrich alone to do this. He chimes in every now and then, but he leaves everybody alone. And Ulbrich basically said to his defense, there was a really nice play that he made on a throw to Malik Taylor, and Jeff Ulbrich said, you guys did a great job on defense there. DJ, you were on top of him on that play. You did everything right covering him. There's just only very few quarterbacks in this league that can make that throw, and Aaron's one of them, and we have him on our team now. So as a defense, we need to do our job for Aaron and not just leave it all up to Aaron to do everything. So, Dad, what were your thoughts on everything you've heard about Aaron Rodgers so far as a teammate, as a person, as a player? All these handshakes with Sauce, going to Broadway shows, going to the Tonys, but also having fun with the young guys and actually inviting people over to his house and having gatherings and get-togethers and stuff.
I think it's real. The funny thing is most of the people that said Aaron Rodgers were a jerk were probably Jet fans last year. So, you know, we were all cool with Aaron Rodgers as Packer fans for a long time, except for the last 2 years. Me personally, I wanted him traded about 3 years ago. Maybe 2 years ago. I think they waited a year too long, but that's just my opinion. I mean, the whole Hard Knocks thing, I think it's interesting, but you got to look at it like a story or a play or anything like that. It's basically, there's going to be an arc to this whole thing. Basically, the first episode is going to be happy, happy, happy. I'm sure next episode they're going to start talking about the offensive line issues.
Probably Mekhi Becton.
You know, it's all going to be like, it's, you know, it's not going to be all five episodes. They're going to be happy, happy. Basically, it's all being a setup. It's all set up, and they're going to manipulate the story over the course of these five episodes, and we'll see how it goes. As far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned, you know, he has to rehabilitate his career. You know what I mean? He basically was one of the most despised players or superstars in the NFL. I mean, basically, the guy got COVID after saying he took the shot and then had to walk back and do, like, word scramble to figure out a way to get himself out of saying he just did a blatant lie, amongst other things. I mean, the guy, you know, he was an angry person on Green Bay at the end. And it looks like on the Jets, he's willing to, at least for the time being, you know, go along and follow suit. I will say this. He is the coach of the Jets. Don't say he's acting like the coach of the Jets. He is the coach of
the
Jets.
At least of the offense. At least of the offense he is.
At the least of the offense. Right? He is certainly, at minimum, the offensive coordinator. But he is truly the most powerful person on that team. So he knows it. And meanwhile, he didn't help us in that much because he looked garbage against the, you know, Panthers.
Really?
So,
I thought he looked pretty good, Zach, in that game, right? An offense game, right? Didn't you think he did, Speedy? I thought he played pretty well. Speedy, what were your thoughts on it?
Can't be any worse than last year.
I mean, look, it's the point of, you know, this is going to, you have to remember, too, though, is Zach's learning an entirely new offense from what he dealt with. Zach had a bunch of children as his offensive coordinator in LaFleur and all these inexperienced guys in the room. Now he's got professionals in there. Obviously, you say Aaron Rodgers, but he's got a Nathaniel Hackett in there. He's got pros in there that have done this before. But listen, you laugh and you look at you look at Hackett in the episode, right? And it's so crazy that it did not work in Denver because he actually, Speedy, you watched the episode. He looks like and he sounds like a head coach. He does, and it's weird. Like he really did sound like, and he was like. Him and Aaron actually got into an argument during the episode. Like, Aaron, apparently, like, Nathaniel told him to do this. Aaron didn't do the audible at the line of scrimmage. He then missed the receiver and threw an interception. Nathaniel then yelled at him and said, I told you not to do that. I saw the play happening on this side. You didn't do the audible when I told you to. And then Aaron told him to relax. I find it next time. But, like, Nathaniel was very aggressive with it and basically saying, you can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, and everything. But it's, and I understand it's coach. The nice thing that, I'll say what Peyton Manning said on the Pat McAfee show a few months ago when this trade happened. The best thing about Aaron coming to the Jets with Nathaniel Hackett here already is Aaron doesn't have to learn an entirely new offensive system. That's the nice thing. You start.
It's his offense.
It's his offense. That's the thing. If it was still, if LaFleur was still there or somebody else was still there, Aaron's having to learn an entirely new offense, and him and the coach are going to butt heads, and they're not going to like it. We know this. Aaron's very stubborn as a person. He likes what he likes. This is what he does. Some guys are like that. Peyton Manning, when he went to, the reason why Peyton Manning said he picked Denver over going to San Francisco was he didn't want to learn an entirely new offense where Denver had the offensive system in Indianapolis already, which at the time, right, San Francisco, you can make the case, was the better team than Denver was with that, right, Speedy? San Francisco had the better defense at that time and everything like that, but he went to Denver because he knew the offensive system already, which is why he felt comfortable going to Denver. And some people, some players do take that. Now, Tom Brady, I mean, listen, him and who was the head coach that he won the Super Bowl with?
Bruce Arians.
Arians and him ran two completely different systems. That's the fact. Brady just went there, and Arians basically said, all right, you do whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Same thing here.
You know, but the nice thing is that Aaron has guys already on this in this coaching staff that are able to he's comfortable with.
That's not a coincidence. I mean, first of all, has any person in football, not a player, but anybody in management, got more out of being Aaron Rodgers' friend than Hackett? I mean,
Randall Cobb's good.
I'm not talking about players. Just talking.
Coaching staff.
He got the head coaching job at Denver with the assumption that he was going to be able to bring Aaron Rodgers there.
I do want
to
just give
then
Hackett.
He got nailed there, and he had to go to he got the Jets job only because Aaron Rodgers went there.
But again, he didn't have to take that job. Remember, he was still collecting a paycheck from Denver. He didn't have to take that job. He took the job because, remember, look at it in this way. It's last year, remember, Hackett took the Denver job. He thought he was getting Rodgers. Rodgers then said, I'm going to stay in Green Bay because they're going to pay me more money. So they had to scramble and get Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson does not run Nathaniel Hackett's offense.
I don't know what the Daniel Hackett offense is since Jacksonville. I mean, what is the
Well, that's what it is. You would say it's more. I mean, it's more of a dump kind of offense, right? It's more of a spread offense. That's what it would be.
Yeah, some kind of like more middle concept West Coast type
offense.
It's
more slot receivers, yes, everything like that, which is where Allen Robertson's succeeded very well in doing it. And Allen Robertson thought he was
before
a
his
deep
bad
threat.
Injury.
He also thought he was a deep threat receiver at that point. But I want to give Hackett at least one portion of credit. He did, in Jacksonville, with Blake Bortles, get to an AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
That's something nobody talks about. And I know Snug's calling. We're going to get this. I know Snug, your favorite person, Dad, is calling. Snug is calling. We'll get to him. Is he still on the phone? Or?
Yeah.
I can talk all day. I can give him my whole phone.
So it's like, you know what I mean? Well, I don't know if he'll be able to hear what you say. He might, right? You think he will or you might not?
We'll see.
We'll see. But I mean, all right, you want to bring him on, Speed? Bring him on. He's dying to talk, and he's gonna insult me 20 times. He's gonna shout out whose show on. He's gonna shout out on
Kenny. Of course,
shows on Sunday. All right, Snug, what's going on, man?
You're right. The Kenny show's at noon every Sunday Eastern time, or whenever Kenny gets out of bed. So please don't miss it.
Hey,
Snug,
he was on earlier last week because he was going to a Metallica concert.
Did you see that? He was on early. I saw that too, and I was going to text her. I'm like, what is Kenny doing on?
I didn't see his text. I was prepping to go to the game. I'm like, oh god, I forgot Kenny wanted to have a show earlier.
When you're Kenny's caliber, you come on when you're ready. Okay. People are just waiting. They see that notification, then they jump on. I also want to thank Nelson for coming on the air. Nelson, you're a fine gentleman, and I am
so happy you're here.
I'm not going to lie. It's really hard to hear you, man, so I don't know if you're talking or not. Hopefully I'm not talking over you. But, you know, I think that, unfortunately, Josh lost his way somewhere along the path of life because your sports takes are solid and Josh's sports takes sound like they came from Earl. So,
now, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? You didn't say that 3 weeks ago. No. You didn't say that 3 weeks ago. You said I was the right one and Earl was the one that was missing the points. Now you're sort
of
flip-flopping.
Yes, after the – all it took is one episode of Hard Knocks for you and him to perfectly align – and Jets retardedness.
Well, now, hold on. Did Errol say that the Jets are winning the Super Bowl? Did he say that?
If he hasn't said it, he probably will.
Okay, because I would never say that. That's number one.
No, I don't think he's backed that off a little bit now. He's more into they're going to go into the playoffs, and they could win the Super Bowl.
Okay, because we had a conversation about the Yankees the other day, and he was making excuses nonstop about the Yankees completely. And I said, no, dude, the Yankees are a train wreck. That's what they are.
But this is what I love the most about Jets fans and Hard Knocks, right? Because they said they didn't want it, but secretly they did. And they put on the Aaron Rodgers show, right? Oh, my God, Aaron Rodgers is so wonderful. Oh, my. And so for 10 years in the league, everyone said, Aaron Rodgers is a giant dick. And everyone else was like, yes, he is. I can't stand that guy. You get on one episode of Hard Knocks where it's edited, because what are they going to do? Put up the stuff where he yells, acts nasty? No, they're going along with the storyline. And he's all sunshine and smiles. Sure, call me in week 3 when that offensive line isn't protecting him the way he wants to be protected. And he's all beat up. And I'm not going to say they're not going to win some games, because they are. And then tell me how sunshiny this guy is. It took 1 hour of television time and pictures of smiles, which we all know reality TV isn't that real, right? To get everyone so far, oh my God, he's such a good guy. Now, here's the fun part that people aren't considering. Aaron Rodgers, at this point, really kind of sullied his reputation in quite a few ways. He wants a TV contract just like the GOATs. The GOAT got more money being on TV than he's got playing football. And so Aaron Rodgers is going to be the nicest guy for a couple of years, and he's going to show so well, and he's going to teach Zach Wilson how to be the next... Oh, I don't know. Who's Zach Wilson going to be?
Aaron Rodgers.
He'll be – who's a good one? Like Ryan Tannehill. That's a good one.
Hey, listen. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, Snug. If he's Ryan Tannehill, I'll take that in a heartbeat if he's Ryan Tannehill.
He's going to threaten you with a good time and not do anything at all. So – I mean, let's back it off a little bit. The AFC East, everybody knows and agrees, Jets fans, Patriots fans, everyone probably but Dolphins fans, they're a little bit myopic because they think they're going to be able to prop two up long enough to win something.
Let me tell you, really quick, son, before you continue, I got to say something. Out of everybody on Twitter with all these fan bases and everything that I've heard so far at a training camp is Tua has not looked great in training camp so far. That's what I've read. Good. No, he's not.
I mean, how far can you trust Tua?
Well, I mean
he's
you know.
As far as you can drop him on the floor.
Dude, he is one good hit in the head from, like, drooling and coloring books for the rest of his life.
Let me tell you, that's
like,
who,
honestly,
that's who the Dolphins
on a human are. Level, I fear for him.
That's
I don't
want to
see this.
No, no, of course not. But that's who the Dolphins, and my dad said this to you at the time, with Waddle and Hill, the Dolphins should have been the team to go after Aaron Rodgers. That's the team that should have went after him. Because if they got Aaron Rodgers in Miami, that's the team I think that would have really been. You would have said with Waddle and Hill on that team, forget about it.
Don't worry. Yeah. They can overcome the Jalen Ramsey, Andrew, because they got the great Eli Apple.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait till Garrett Wilson just does a three-starter step on him 20 yards deep and steps over him as he gets a touchdown.
Like I said, I
can't wait till Eli Apple gets traded back to the Giants for,
oh,
like,
don't torture me, Snug.
Footballs and, like, a thing of nachos or something.
Snug, do not give me nightmares.
Before we let you go and everything of that nature, first off, are there any good, in regards, obviously, I know you're not, clearly, do you feel that the Jets can be a good team this year, or are you just on the banter of, nah, it's going to blow up in their face and they're going to find a way to ruin it?
No, that's what I'm saying is realistically, the AFC East is a three-team race, and it's heavily weighted towards the Jets and Buffalo, if we're going to be real, real honest. As a Patriots fan, I'd love to see them do something. They might do something, they might not.
The Patriots?
Yeah, their defense will be okay. Defense will keep them in games.
Yeah, but Mac Jones will keep them in games. That's the problem. Who's he throwing the ball to? Don't say Juju.
I was going to say, they got a couple of pieces. I'm not saying they got anyone to wow anyone, but it's better than what they had. And they had a respectable season last year. It wasn't great. It's respectable. They're enough to cause problems. But my point is, the AFC East is going to beat the hell out of each other. So are the Jets probably going to make the playoffs? I think there's a very fair chance of it.
Place a bet on it.
On whether they'll make the playoffs?
Yeah, how far do you think they'll go?
Place a bet on them. I think they could win one round, possibly. I think they could win a wild card game.
Okay.
I don't think they get much further than that, but
okay.
I think that's a fair assessment. Would you not agree?
No, I would definitely agree with that. It's definitely fair. The one thing I will say this, if Aaron Rodgers is able to play, and let's not forget last year, everybody keeps saying that he's finished. He had a broken thumb on his throwing hand last year. We have to take that into consideration with how everything was. But don't forget, the Jets also still had a top-five defense last year. You can't if Rodgers plays up to – if Rodgers does what he did last year, don't have a 92 passer rating and throw 26 touchdowns, and the Jets' defense plays to where it should, their defense is – Speedy, you tell me if I'm wrong. Who has a better defense, the Jets or Cincinnati?
The Jets, I would give them the edge because of their pass defense. The secondary for the Bengals is questionable. The Jets have two weaknesses on their defense, covering tight ends and covering screen passes.
So let me ask you this, who's a better defense, Jets or the Chiefs?
Oh, the Jets.
So those are two. And then you have Jets and Buffalo, which is neck and neck.
Right.
So there in itself says that defense wins championships, right? Isn't that always the mantra? That's always the case, isn't it? I mean, if the Jets get out of this gauntlet of the first six games, 3-3, they're in the clear then. Because they play Houston, they play Atlanta, they play, I don't know, who else do they play that's garbage?
It would be the AFC, it's the AFC South, I believe, and, the AFC North, the NFC East, so Jets are not accordingly.
But let's keep in mind, if they don't get the offensive line, let's face it, it doesn't matter. If they don't get the offensive line solved, then they're an 8-win team.
Snug, we're going to let you go so that way you can hear what Nelson is saying. One, I did this for him because he really wanted to come on. You have been up my ass about him coming on for the last 6 months, so...
It's great.
So listen, that means you're going to send me over some cupcakes and edibles, right? And I'll send you my address off the air. I expect it in the mail by next week.
Oh, of course. I'd be happy to send you something in the mail next week. No problem.
No, don't be sending me like any poop or any crap like that. I don't want to hear that, all right? Don't be sending me that, okay?
I'll confer with Jeff. We'll find something really nice for you. But I have one question before I go, and I will take this off the air.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I got to shout out to Jeff, best caller on the network. I got to fact check real quick. There was a statement made this week on the air that Aaron Rodgers led the NFC in touchdowns last season. That was fake news. There were three guys that threw more in the NFC. And the last question I have is Nelson. Josh has this rumor mill he's told us about, but none of us can find the source. Can you tell us where it comes from?
A lot of texts. So he might be taking it from me.
It's not him. It's
but
not
only
you.
The true ones, the, it's like not the, you. The Pete Alonso one that it's I got ridiculed you. On like 3 weeks ago when I said the Mets are going to have to trade Pete Alonso and everybody made fun of me on that one. Those are the ones.
You're not the rumor mill source. No, there's actually people that are. No, I'm not even going to disclose that because I don't have to. So there's my answer. So you can stick that up your ass. Everything like that. I don't have to disclose anything. No, but. Listen, I'm not saying that the Jets are going to... Right, Speedy? You didn't hear me pump my chest and say the Jets are doing this and that. All I was saying was that Aaron Rodgers looked like he was having fun. That's all
yes,
I was saying.
Was.
That's all I was saying. And look, the Jets have been hot garbage for the last 15 years. We haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1968. Are we allowed to be happy and positive, or is that like a sin? In like the Bible, is that like a thing?
You know, it's a car wreck. I mean, in the back of your mind, you know this is like a car wreck happening. You know this is.
Oh, of course I do. See, okay, Speedy. Speedy knows this about me too.
Okay, thank
Speedy,
you. I just want to make sure.
Speedy and Errol call me. What does Errol always call me? About the
Homer.
No. Homer. I'm the first. Cynical? Homer. He calls me no about being negative.
Oh.
Yeah.
The real litmus test is we have to check on CJ.
Yeah. For some reason, Errol always called me a homer, which I'm still trying. Even you said it, Speedy. We're trying to figure out how that was the case. But, I mean, because I'm
as... I will say...
But then he calls you Mr. Negative. So I can't win.
Mr. Negative.
Yeah.
I will say the Packers will have a better record than the Jets this year.
See, that's...
Oh, boy.
He was waiting for that to say.
Oh!
All right, so then let's get into the Green Bay Packers, because clearly you have been following them up a storm, you know. And listen, I will give them this. They did well in this Rodgers trade. They get the first-round pick next year. Let's call it like it is. That conditional pick is going to be a first-round pick. But look, if the Jets get far and they do damage in the playoffs next year, then it was worth it, right? Like, that's what the goal was.
You're gonna say Super Bowl. Dead. They're a dead in the water team.
No, they're not, because they still have. So Aaron's given them the commitment for 3 years.
Look, he plays for them this year. They lose their first round pick next year. He plays for them next year. Mm-hmm. They have no developmental quarterback in the system after that. They have nothing.
Well, that's
they'll
what they're trying to do with Zach.
They'll be like, let's say they're 9-8. That means they're a 20th pick team with absolutely no quarterback on that team.
Okay.
They're basically the Green Bay Packers from 4 years ago.
At the same time, when I look at it in this way, it's, all right, well, you know, Zach Wilson is there still. He's under contract.
Yeah. Is that good?
No, it's not. But listen, if he gets anything out of this, and like Snug said, if he's like Ryan Tannehill, I'll take that in a heartbeat. I mean, let's call it like it is. It's a win for the Jets then.
And Tannehill has great running backs.
Well, we know that, yeah. Derrick Henry, and Frank Gore in his prime in Miami, somewhat.
And the one great year of Jay Ajayi.
You remember Jay Ajayi? Ajayi was good.
The only player to ever get better under Adam Gase.
Yeah, well, you know, and then everybody used to always ask, why is Ajayi starting? And then that was the reason. But let's get into the Packers a little bit. Because I know you always read the Packer blogs, you listen to the shows and all this stuff, and everything of that nature. We know what the Packers are. You have a developmental quarterback coming in this year in Jordan Love. It's a new era in Green Bay. We go from Favre to Rodgers.
This is the difference. He's been up and down this preseason. And actually, he plays in another half hour. But the point I'm making is that he's been a mentored quarterback.
They're playing in a half an hour.
Right. He's a mentored quarterback. That means he's not developmental a developmental quarterback. He's been mentored for three
years.
No,
but you know what I'm saying, though. He's been sitting on the bench like Aaron Rodgers did for years and everything like that.
Right.
And there's a lot of pressure on Jordan. And again, and I've said this time and time again, Speedy remembers when I was on Loudmouths with Errol and you guys. I used to say Jordan Love is going to be a very good quarterback. I believe he will be. I think he's actually going to fit the floor system very well. I think what's going to also be helpful for him is that his leg usage is going to be a big thing because they still have a nice offensive line, Green Bay. Billy Turner not there no more. So
they got rid of all of Aaron Rodgers' best friends. You would think they'd be better players as best friends. I don't understand why
you took all the... You know, but they have the receivers. They have the young receivers in play.
They got one very good tight end that they picked up this year in the draft. They got two very solid receivers. I don't understand why people were all on this young receivers. How many teams have good receivers that are good? I mean, young receivers, second-year receivers are good. Those are your receivers. No, those are your best receivers. You want 30-year-old receivers? No. You want 24, 25, 26-year-old receivers. The defensive secondary is very good.
Yep.
There's really no bad segment of the team.
They still have Aaron Jones. They still have that. Yeah, I mean, they
got a good running attack.
And that's what I was
saying. Every aspect of that team is pretty solid.
It's going to come down to luck. Yeah, it's going to come down. I think obviously the X factors you see, and Speedy, you would agree too, right? The Green Bay has all the talent in the world on this team to succeed. It's the quarterback is what the X factor is for this team to move forward.
All right, Nelson, I have to ask, because I know this has been an issue for the Packers in the past. Are you worried about the run defense, though? So that has hurt them a lot.
I think the run defense, they picked up Van Ness. They picked up, I think they've had a lot of problems. It's true, they've had a lot of problems with the third down run defense. You know, they're counting on young guys to pick it up, and I don't know how it's going to work out. I think the whole defense last year underperformed. I think the defensive coordinator was just about out the door. I can't believe that he didn't get fired, but you know, the team seems to coalesce around the guy, so we'll see how it works this year. But it is a concern. I'm not saying it's not.
No, I mean that's again, I think, and the thing about Green Bay is they're in a very winnable division, the NFC North.
You know, great coaches like you. You know, you were talking about the Patriots and stuff. Those teams. I mean, last year was terrible, but normally those teams, they don't need great talent to win. Like they've just not had to scheme victories. Like they offensively scheme victories. Like look at San Francisco. They, you know, everybody talks. That's amazing what they accomplished the second half of last year, and they would have definitely have beaten Philadelphia to get to the Super Bowl if they didn't lose their two quarterbacks. I mean, it is pretty incredible that a team, that if you have a smart enough coach, that you could almost take the quarterback out of it and just win with schemes. It's pretty impressive.
I mean, again, like I said, the biggest thing for Green Bay is they, because obviously everybody is on the Detroit hype train, right? We're all on Detroit this year. You know, we're seeing with Campbell at the way they ended their season last year, and they brought Goff back, and they go out.
Goff's a nice quarterback.
They get the running back from Alabama, who they brought in, who was a nice player. They still have a nice offensive line. They're deep, you know. Obviously, Hutchinson is the leader on the defense for Detroit, and then you have Minnesota, which. I have no idea where Minnesota is because they cut Dalvin Cook, but they still have Justin Jefferson and a guy that I like that gets no respect because he gets paid too much money is Kirk Cousins.
He is a very good quarterback.
You know, I think he's, if there's a top 10 quarterback list, I think he's 10th on the list. My opinion, I think he's better than Dak. I will go to the grave saying that he is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. I have Cowboy fans argue with me up a storm about this, and I say, go look at the numbers last season. Kirk had a much better year than Dak did. Meanwhile, I got Trey Diggs talking trash to Dak in training camp after he threw another interception the other day.
If you go top 10 quarterbacks, I think you'd be surprised how fast the drop-off is.
It is. Like, if you're going to go, like, you'll go, obviously, you have the usual, right? You have Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, you know, those are the three basic ones. Then you get to the other ones, right? Like you're gonna have to throw Hurts in there because he got to a Super Bowl last year. You know what I mean? Rodgers is obviously there from what he's done in his history. He's there. Herbert,
Lamar Jackson,
Trevor Lawrence. I will constantly say this. Deshaun's not there yet. He's got.
He has to prove himself again.
But even Tua, if Tua stays healthy, I would sincerely put Tua on that list. But the problem is Tua does not stay healthy because Tua is always top 5-10 in the season in completion percentage.
And deep accuracy last year, his metrics were the best.
And they were exactly. I mean, he was one of the best. I believe it. What is it? I think it was like a number that came up, Pro Football Focus, for like number one for slot receivers yards after the catch.
Okay.
I think he was the number one guy in percentage on that for the most yards after the catch for a slot receiver. So if Tua's healthy, then that's fine.
They're a good team.
Yeah. So it's a matter of, and then if I want to put Cousins in there, I would put Cousins in there. I'm not putting Dak top 10. I'm sorry. I can't. Yeah. He's the reason everybody will constantly say, oh, that, you know, the Dallas doesn't have anybody to throw the football to, or they don't have. I mean, you guys still have. You have CeeDee Lamb. You had Schultz last year, and then you had Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, who Elliott's finished. We clearly can see that. But you had Tony Pollard last year. You still had guys. Dak couldn't score a lick on that 49ers defense, and then you had the fact that Brock Purdy outplayed him in the final 5 minutes of that game. Brock Purdy, against that Cowboy defense, came up clutch, right? Against the Dallas defense. And Dak did not. Which, by the way, poor Ezekiel Elliott on that play, that play of the game. Dude, the guy got absolutely... I thought his career was over after he got mauled on that play. You have one.
Still might be. Nobody signed him yet.
I mean, you got 1 second left in the game, and he throws a dump off to Elliott when everybody's back for a Hail Mary, and Dak throws a drop-off pass in the middle of the field for 5 yards.
They're losers. What? I mean, Dallas is just losers. They're a losing team.
Now you made Jeff. See, now you made Jeff happy. I tell you, Jeff is probably ecstatic.
They're losers. I think
they're the most obnoxious, annoying fan base in football because they have the star on their helmet. And then, what does Jerry always say? Why is the roof always open? Because God's watching his favorite football team.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you something. If God is picking the Dallas Cowboys as his favorite football team, he needs to get back on track and he's off the rails at this point and figure out where he is standard-wise. Because this ain't the 90s anymore. It would have been the Patriots, I would have said. The Patriots. We'll do like a one commercial break, Speedy. We'll do a one commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get a little bit into the baseball conversation, do a little trade deadline stuff, and then we're going to end the show with the college football play, and I'm going to get some, my dad and I will talk about it. I'm going to get Speedy involved too in this because I know Speedy and I were talking off the air about it, and I know Speedy's a big college football guy. So we're going to get into this conversation, the three of us, about why we think, and this came from my father, I'm going to give him credit for this, why we think divisions are going to disband after this 12-team playoff stuff starts. You're listening to Game On Live right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game on!
We're back!
It's just a score!
You're listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on Game On Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network, of course, with my dad, Nelson Silverberg, joining us, and of course, the great, powerful producer himself, Mr. Speedy P. He's got his Worldwide Sports Radio Network hat on. I know he's not on camera, but, you know.
Nelson's got to take the spotlight.
Hey, that's it. It's his jam today, man. That's what it is.
You can't get three squares in? You can't do threes?
No, we can, but we have to give you your bigger size camera.
Do you want me to mute myself? Or do you want me to like get myself off and just have him just mute myself?
Nah.
All right, so let's get
too much.
Let's get into it with the baseball. Obviously, my dad has a lot to say about this because the Mets are his favorite out of all of his teams. The Mets are his favorite. He's anti-Cohen. He is. He's very pro-Wilpon.
Oh,
that's just not true.
He's very pro-Wilpon because the truth of the matter is this. He has said since Cohen's taken over, there's no organizational structure and there's no way of them doing anything, whereas he feels the Wilpons did have that. Yet the Wilpons were signing Chris Young on the first day of free agency to a one-year $10 million deal, and that just put everything over the top. That just did it. That put it all over the top and everything of that nature. But I'm kidding, of course. And by the way, really quickly, I personally think the Mets are also doing all of this, what they did, And I don't think Buck's going to be the manager next year. I think he's going to be let go. I think they're going to give David Stearns, when he comes in, a complete clean slate and let Stearns do what he does. Let him run it. Let him run the organization. And Epler's just going to be a body at this point. Listen, Epler got rid of the contracts. He got the prospects. Granted, he got every shortstop in the minors. Pretty much did. Dan, what were your thoughts on the trade deadline? Because to me, personally, I thought the Mets had, and Speedy did too. Speedy said it. Tell me if I'm wrong and if I misquote you, Speedy. You said the Mets did a very good job at getting the returns that they got for the older pitchers. They did. So what were your thoughts on the deadline?
I think they did great when you look at every single individual trade. Like, every individual trade they made, they did very well. But when you look at the whole totality of what they got, they basically have a lot of overlapping talent that they're either going to have to trade off in the future to get different prospects or different major league players. I don't see how it's going to work. They picked up a lot of infielders. They picked up one outfielder.
I think Clifford plays first base, if I'm not mistaken, from Houston. Yeah. And then Gilbert's an outfielder. Acuna could play outfield and second base. And then they got the kid Vargas who could play second and third as well. So it's not like, I understand what you're saying. They, mainly those players they got back are predominantly shortstops.
Point, it just goes to show how, like, and I talked to you about this when we talked about the Kelenic trade. We always argue about this trade.
Oh,
and
I'm so say the over this thing. Crap at this point. It's not me and you. Time. It's really quick. It's not me minor, and you. It's you and Evan. It's you and Evan. Right. It's not me and you.
Minor
I'm
league,
out.
Minor league outfield talent, you can trade. Minor league pitchers that have talent, you never trade. And you saw at this deadline, the Mets could not pry a top pitching prospect from any of these organizations on any of these trades. Yeah, it just wasn't able to get it. And there's a reason for it. And there's just such a high value on minor league pitchers with talent that are in double A or above. And the Mets couldn't do it. And that's the reason for it. So instead of getting nothing, they did the best they could, and they got a lot of fielders. And hopefully one or two of them pan out, but it's, you know, it's a process. Let me just say something about Cohen since you did this. So I'm going to talk about Cohen is loved in New York because he did things like he brought back Old Timers Day. He's extraordinarily fan-friendly.
The Seaver statue.
I'm saying everything he did as far as his relationship to the fans is great.
He brought back history for the Mets. That's what he wrote for the goal was.
Everything he does as far as running the organization and making them better is very much the same vein as what Dolan does with the Knicks, what Woody Johnson does with the Jets, which is he looks for the shiny object, spends big money on it, and then when it doesn't work out, he bails out of it and says, all right, now we're rebuilding. But we still have a lot of remnants of this leftover philosophy. We still have Lindor for 9 years. We still have this ridiculous Nimmo contract, which is so bad. It's not a bad contract. It's going to mess up Alonso's.
The Nimmo contract is not bad. Speedy, what's Nimmo getting paid on average per year?
20.
And he's one of the best center fielders in baseball.
It doesn't. If you're the best let's say you're the best student in like the worst math class in school, that doesn't mean you're going to Harvard. I mean, there's no other center field. Nimmo is a good player.
So what did you want them to do to replace Nimmo? Because the next alternative option was getting a Kevin Kiermaier. Would you have wanted Kevin Kiermaier?
I don't, I could have at worst, and it wouldn't have worked out. It wouldn't
gonna
have worked out.
You're going to say Marte in center field.
Put Marte in center and then
just for him to get hurt more?
Right. It wouldn't have worked out. But so then they would have had the flexibility to get somebody to fill in the slots later on in the year. There's no reason to, like, obligate yourself to this guy for 8 years. Plus, screw up the balance of your payroll for any future players that want to negotiate with your team.
But what payroll? It's unlimited. There's no – what payroll? There's no – literally –
there's a limit, Josh. He's not going to – he's already –
he's already – yeah, I know that. But that's the thing. Name me an owner that will go out of his way to ever take some money back just to get top talent back.
That's right.
I mean, look at their the other than the Baltimore Orioles, they did the rankings yesterday. The Mets are now the only team other than the Baltimore Orioles to have five or more prospects in the top 100 on MLB.com. The Mets.
I understand that, but that's all great. But if even if those prospects produce, Nimmo's in center, so they're going to need... My thinking is, if you're going to do this, you have to dig deeper. I would have tried to trade McNeil.
You're going to get no value for him.
Yeah, but you got to open up the slots. Like, this is the point I'm making. If you're going to dig out, if you're trying to dig out of this thing, then you have to dig out of this thing. You know, they actually did try to trade Alonso, from what I understand, but the value was so low. Like, this is the conversation.
They're going to end up signing Alonso long-term.
What's Alonso's value?
I said between 190 and 200 mil. That's what I said.
To how many years? He's 29.
He's 29 now. I would say probably for about 6 or 7 years.
So you're saying 36 million.
You are, but because that's what's going to have to get done, because it's almost like the same thing with Matt Olson. It's the same thing. Olson got a long-term deal for that same amount of money, and Olson's around, I think Olson's around the same age as Alonso.
Yeah, he's the same age as Alonso, but he signed his long-term deal 2 years ago.
Olson's also 29.
So, I mean, it's all shifted. It's shit.
But how much did Olson also get? Didn't Olson also get like 180 or one? And then Freddie Freeman
got 168.
Yeah, and Freddie Freeman got 180 from the Dodgers, and he's 33, 34.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Olson got 1 year, 8 years, 170?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say. Alonso is not going to do that with Nimmo making 160. Within the organization itself, Alonso is a much more important player than Nimmo is.
But you say that, but then you look at a team like the Yankees, right? The Yankees have Cole locked up for 340. Judge is locked up for, 300? Stanton's still getting his. Rodon's getting 160. LeMahieu's on for another 110, so he's got, two more years left.
He's
it is deal.
To that contract.
You know, I mean, and then you got Rizzo next year. The Yankees have more bigger contracts than the Mets do long term.
And so it's why not working the Mets, out. And I know it doesn't work out.
I know, but the Mets only have, when you look at the massively $300 million person player on their team, the Mets have one. The next biggest number is Nimmo, I think, at what, one?
Yeah, 20 years.
20 per year, 160.
Damn, that's the
next. It's the length of the contract. The length is a little, I would have said 20 for five.
That's fine.
I'm concerned with that, too, yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's fair to say, 100%, that's completely fair. The nice thing is that Nimmo has actually produced so far on this contract. That's the nice thing about
it. He's a nice player.
You know what I mean? But
it's
not. Like the McNeil contract was a budget. Like McNeil's didn't cost it. Like you could trade McNeil if you wanted to. If you feel Acuna is ready next year, if you feel like Acuna is ready to go in spring training and you think he's your second baseman, like you could trade McNeil. That's not a big contract. Like, this is the thing, and I guess we're leaning towards the Yankees now. This is the thing with what the Yankees have to deal with now, right? Because now you heard today, Nestor Cortez has rotator cuff issues. He's done for the next 4 weeks, so he's not going to come back this year. I don't see it.
Right.
There's no way. And then you have Rodon, who has been a disaster since he's been here. By the way,
I like it.
I said before the year, I hated the signing because that guy,
I don't mind.
He's had one healthy season in, 7 years?
He had two healthy seasons. Last two seasons were very good.
They were good, but he was never been healthy.
Excellent. I would say excellent. His last season was almost...
Well, he was also in San Francisco. He was also in that ballpark.
Really good.
He was also in that ballpark in San Francisco. That's an
unbelievable pitcher's ballpark. You know, just saying this. Look at what this Met team has to get next year. They have one pitcher base. They have Senga.
Well, I think they're going to go after the Japanese pitcher. What's his name? Yamashita. Or they're going to go after. They'll probably go after him. So they'll probably try to go after him. Urias maybe. I mean, Rosenthal said it today on The Athletic. He said, and I don't think it's. I still don't think it's going to happen. But he said 110%. Otani's. They're gonna throw a pitch at Ohtani, and they're gonna see what it does.
And they're not gonna get him anyway.
No, I think he's gonna go to the Dodgers. But to say that Cone won't be involved, but the thing of it too is that I feel like this whole thing was with Stearns. I don't think Buck's going to be the manager next year. I think what's going to happen is Stearns is going to come in, and then I think what Stearns is going to try to do is he's going to try to have maybe Craig Counsell follow him from Milwaukee to the Mets because they're best friends, and Stearns hired him, and Stearns did everything. Stearns is also very good friends with Billy Epler. He's, you know, everything like that. I think that's what this whole setup was. Honestly, don't be surprised if under the table, Cohen was probably talking to Stearns about some of these things. And it's never going to come out. But look, Epler was probably asking Stearns for an opinion on this. Stearns was probably giving it to him. I wouldn't be shocked if that was the case. No way.
If you sincerely look at this Mets lineup right now, the outfield is a disaster. I mean, they got a horrible hitting outfield, right? You got Martin and Nimmo and McNeil, or whatever you want to put in my field. I don't know who. You know, you have Alonso at first, low average, big power.
So you don't want Alonso long term?
No, he's a one-tool player. He's great at that one.
It's funny because
he is a one-tool player.
No, and I agree. And that's the funny thing is I was telling Errol, and Errol's still upset that the Yankees re-signed Judge. He didn't think the Yankees should have re-signed Judge. He said the Yankees only re-signed Judge because the organization was backed into a corner by the fan base that they didn't do. Because the problem is, as Judge is getting older, and now he's got this foot issue, which, by the way, people have said with this toe issue, when you get a surgery on it, you're not the same player, a la DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu had a toe issue, got surgery on it. He has not even come close to the same player that he has been. And can you imagine if this Judge thing blows up in their face because of this toe issue with the Yankees? I mean, they're screwed for the next 8 years with this contract. But that's the thing. It's power hitters regress as they get, except for Freddie Freeman somehow. The rest of them regress consistently.
I mean, if you look at the most disappointing teams this year, it is the teams probably with the most long-term 10-year contracts.
Padres.
It's the Padres. Yankees. You know, and the Mets.
Yeah, I would say that I think I said that a few weeks ago. I think the Padres are the number one team. And not to mention, you said it to me that the Padres network, I think, didn't it just go up in flames, the network, didn't it?
There were a couple other ones, too. Yeah, they were one of them.
They just went up in flames. So I want to know, where is this money coming from to pay these guys? They're also low. They're in the 20s in attendance, too. So where are they constantly coming up with this money? And they are going to have to probably trade Soto.
Yes.
That's what's going to have to, because Tatis, no value right now, right? Is Tatis having a good season even, or is he? It's not worth trading him. Hader's going to leave as a free agent. So that's gone right there, losing your closer, because they signed Musgrove, who's been meh. Snell, they're going to lose in free agency because somebody's going to overpay for Snell. And then it's just a matter of what do the Padres do at this point. You have Machado there long term, but Machado's not been good. Bogarts has been awful. That contract. I never understood that Bogarts contract. I mean, that contract. The Bogarts one and the Trey Turner one, because the thing about the Trey Turner one is what's Trey Turner's biggest asset? It's his speed. He's going to lose that in a couple of years. And you're stuck with that contract for another 8 years if you're Philly. Philly's doing well. They got a lot of bad contracts too, though, Philly.
No, they're not really well structured from their past. But this offseason, they did a little better for the value. But yeah, Turner's doing horrible.
Yeah. Riamuto's doing horrible. Schwarber's doing horrible. They're going to lose Hoskins in free agency because they're not going to be able to afford him. Castellanos is up and down. Harper is good. He just never stays healthy. And then they might lose Nolan free agency, and if that's the case, what do the Phillies do then?
It's a bad philosophy. I mean, it just is a bad philosophy of signing players that much money for that length. The only team that makes it work is Atlanta, and they make it work because basically they don't overpay.
Well, they sign guys early before their arbitration rights,
and they get them like very young.
Yeah. The ruin Atlanta, you perform well for 2 months. We're going to sign you for an 8-year contract, like Michael Harris. Yes. That's so what we're going to buy out your arbitration rights, and we're going to pay you early. Acuna's getting completely underpaid.
So they got 5 years of What did they buy? I guess they bought out three of his free agent years.
I think Acuna's getting what, 120?
$100 million?
He got that 3 years ago, yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, and if I'm Acuna, I would go back to Atlanta and be like, listen, I did you guys a favor. I'm arguably the best player in baseball right now.
But that's how you run an organization.
Of course.
That's how. Don't pay for the guy after he had his best year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Pay your prospects, hold them, and that's the way you go forward. This buying, you know, where are the Mets going to get? Can't even see it anywhere.
Well, again, they're gonna sign one of them. They'll probably sign the Yamashita guy. Get the
Japanese pitcher.
So they'll get him, and then they'll maybe try to sign Nola or Urias. They'll try to sign one of them, and then you hope. You just build. You hope some guys bounce back, or you just get some mid-tier 4 or 5 starters. You get some lower-level 4 or 5 starters.
This is your team. You know, so I'm saying, if the Mets get Urias, I'd be very worried. That means the Dodgers let him go.
Of course, that's why.
If the Dodgers let him go, then there's a reason.
I mean, but look, I don't like Nola either. So
I don't either.
I think he's the most overrated pitcher in baseball. I've said that for the last 3 years. I think he's the most overrated pitcher in baseball.
Yeah,
but let's get to our buzzer beer right now, Dex. I know you want to go watch that Green Bay Packers
preseason game. Over. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Well, do you want to do a buzzer beater quick?
All right, I'll stick around.
You want to stick around for the college football conversation really quick?
I do.
So you said when the 12-team playoff race starts, you said that the conferences, and I think you said Jeff said the same thing too.
They're just
going to completely disband. In that case, because you see Oregon and Washington are now joining the Big Ten, along with USC and UCLA and all this stuff. And then, like, teams are leaving the Big 12 to go to other teams.
Yeah, the two Arizona schools are going to the Big 12.
Yeah, so they're going to
It's to protect their pockets, you know what I mean? It's not any other reason. There's no TV contracts for independents unless you're Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying?
I heard Stanford might become independent. That's what I've heard.
I also heard Stanford and Cal are trying to go to the ACC as well.
Yeah, the ACC is what I heard. Right, so unless you're Notre Dame, you sort of have to do this. But as this sort of evolves and 12 teams start making the playoffs, the conferences start becoming less and less important in the end. It sort of becomes like basketball, where nobody cares about the regular season anymore. Everybody's just waiting for the 64 team, you know.
So then what happens with the conference championships then? Is that just kaput? Is that gone?
Who cares? You think the Big Ten, the loser, is not going to make the tournament?
I mean, depends on the year. Like, say, for example,
You'd have to be pretty bad in the Big Ten if the second place Big Ten school, especially this Big Ten conference, doesn't pull in 2 out of 12 teams.
Well, again, I mean, you're going to have the conversation. You have Ohio State, you have Michigan in the East, and then in the West, you're going to have Wisconsin, who's looking very strong.
But there's no more West and East no more. They're getting rid of
them. Yeah, they are. They're going to dump that and just make it a one big conference, which they should.
So it's one big thing where they rotate the guys but keep the rivalry games and the first two place teams play. So can you imagine a year where, it'd be pretty far-fetched that are they going to have 5 SEC teams in there and 1 Big Ten team out of the 12? I mean, it'd be crazy, right?
Of course.
It would depend on how the value of the rest of the conference is, though, too. Definitely probably 3 would get in, because usually you have 3 SECs in the top 12.
Well, Dad, before I let you go, you have a lot of fans here.
It was fun. Thank you so much.
Of course. Listen, thank you so much for coming on. I'll see you this weekend. Love you as always, and I'll talk to you, all right?
Thank you. Take care, Steve.
All right, Dad. All right.
Bye-bye, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson Silverberg, ladies and gentlemen, that was fun, as expected. Speedy, what were your thoughts when you got to get to talk to him more? Now, remember, he's still in the feed, I think, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to take him completely out. I'm just kidding.
Hey, it's an interesting Mets thoughts for sure. A lot of different perspectives on the prospects. He's right. They do need more pitching depth as a whole, too. And I think that's the approach that they could consider taking with some of these other trades, because now they have enough prospects to be able to do that if they wanted to make a trade for maybe a pitcher that'll be a free agent in 2 years. You mentioned the Brewers, maybe one of their pitchers they could trade for on the last year of their arbitration. veterans and guys that are on down years that maybe will get on good value now is worth a shot. I would go sign Urias too. That makes a lot of sense to me. I don't want Nola.
You know who I should get on the show at some point to guest host with me? Would be fun, my brother.
Oh. Your brother's a Dolphins fan? What else? Mets fan, okay.
Mets, Dolphins, Knicks. He doesn't really watch hockey in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So, that would be interesting. Get him on. I mean, we're going to the Black Friday game tonight. So
yes, you told me that.
That would be fun to sit next to him and watch the Jets kick their ass.
Oh, you can watch Eli Apple get roasted in person?
I can't wait. That guy is such a douche. You know, I mean, you know, believe me, I'm aware. But listen, but it was great to have him on. Listen, I know he's been begging to come on for a while. Everybody's want him on.
Snug, if Kenny wants to call, he can call the show.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you can listen to Kenny's show on Sundays at noon. You can listen to the Sports Loudmouths with Errol and Speedy. You can listen to the Wise Guys. You can listen to the Betting Show. I believe the Hurt is coming back soon. If I'm not mistaken.
Hopefully.
You know, but the Bill Show coming back soon. And all of that and so much more. And, of course, my show. And don't forget to listen to the Weekend Crunch, Saturdays at 7 p.m. 103.9 FM, the LI News Radio Network. And you're on at 7 until the Islanders start. And then you go on whatever the Islanders say you go on. That's the rule. Hmm. You know, so.
After they lose in a shootout.
Yeah, see, he threw a shot at Nail. Look at him. He had to do it one time. Errol's not here to back up.
No, Snug. No encouraging positivity to Eli Apple.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me say, thank you so much to the fans for listening. Of course, we'll be back next week. I'll be back in my home studio next week, unless Errol has another party to go to. Then I'm driving Speedy again. But it's always fun to be, it's just really freaking hot down here. Whereas my studio is like well ventilated, 68 degrees down there. It's cool, it's nice, and everything like that. So this was a lot of fun. Had a blast. Don't forget to check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com, Facebook, Twitter, or X. Or heck yeah, whatever it's called. Or YouTube, or Spotify, or Periscope. I gotta go to Staples now, and then I gotta go to Home Depot after.
Oh, boy.
So, on a Friday night.
Enjoy. I'll try to.
Well, Home Depot's my favorite store. When you're a homeowner, it's your favorite store. Mm. If you're not a homeowner, it's like, I hate going to this place. If you're a homeowner, it's like, oh, my God. It's like going to a Modell's with everything on sale. Huh. You know what I mean? But a Modell's is no more. So, there you go.
Yes.
All right. You know what I mean? So, and everything like that. Touche. Remember, I'm gonna be at my parents' house next Friday doing the show.
Oh, so.
So, I will not be in the studio next week. So, no, we'll not be here. I'll be at my parents' house. They'll be watching the house while they're gone in Mexico for the week. But thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. This is Josh Silverberg, of course, Speedy P as always, and thank you to my dad, Nelson Silverberg, for helping out today. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next Friday. Enjoy your sports. Enjoy everything. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you then. This is Game On Live, right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.